Praise the Lord. I believe to all of us, the meeting last night and this morning did us good. What we need are hours that bring us closer to the Lord, in which we feel that He is nigh to us, that He speaks to us, and that we also respond to His speaking. This afternoon, we will be brief. We remember the first love, the first fire that burned in our heart. With the one, it was 10 years ago, with the other 15, with the third 20, whatever. But all of us who were so seized by the love of God, we remember this time very well and rejoice with all who are newly seized by it. And there are no nicer meetings than the meetings with new converts among the newcomers. There the long faces become short and the sad get happy. There something still goes on, and this we also wish for ourselves with all our heart, that again new joy comes up. Seen outwardly, this is a very nice area, Eastern Prussia, where our brother now stays, in the GDR, at the Mecklenburg Lake District, where it all merges into the Missouri Lakes, one of the most wonderful landscapes that we had once upon a time. But outwardly, whatever it might be, we are happy that we no longer have our orientation on earthy things, but on the spiritual. Earthy scene is this here. I use now a French word, the most miserable place that exists on earth. Miserable means in French sad. It is a sad region here, what concerns the landscape. But God can bring atmosphere into it. You all know, when you go to Palestine, there outwardly was not seen much. But the Lord has chosen right these places and made them world famous. Whom does God choose today? Not the people of high reputation, whom others would not even invite. Them He invited to make something out of them after the praise of His wonderful grace. While we were singing the choruses, the thought came to me, when we have sung of following Jesus, never going back, never back, there is no going back for us. But when the word following was in that song, I had to think about when our Lord said, "He who follows me, let him take up his cross and thus follow me." Most people would like to follow the Lord so really nice above the clouds, and this doesn't work. With the following of Jesus, a cross has to be carried. A reproach is connected with it, and only at the end we will exchange this cross and this reproach with a crown and glory. When our Lord, on Palm Sunday, it was the 2nd of April, in Jerusalem, all were singing, "Hosanna to him who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King." And a few days later, the King was not crowned, he was crucified. And they were confused. They didn't know anymore how they shall place it, and said, "We thought he would redeem Israel." It came totally different as they thought. But it came just the way as God planned it, as God arranged it. And also we have to be placed in everything. The sooner, the better. If we know that everything is laid by God in such a way the sooner we are satisfied with it, the quicker God can come to his goal with us. Both brothers who said something, we wish you God's blessing. And very officially, we would like to give greetings to our brother who departs tomorrow, to all who love the Lord and his appearing. And there's a brother in Switzerland who is very nigh to me, and he always adds to this word a little sentence. He says, greet all who love the appearing of the Lord and also our appearing. And he wants to say with it, if somebody loves the appearing of the Lord, then he loves also them who love his appearing. And this just belongs together. And at first I was thinking about it. I said, one moment, doesn't he go too far to love the appearing of the Lord and our appearing? But there is a big portion of truth in it, believe me. Whoever loves the Lord or his appearing, and he says it with a mouth, and rather sees you going than coming, then there's something not right. This cannot be this way. He who loves the Lord loves all who are born of God. That's how it is written in the Holy Scripture. That's how John wrote it. And so it is true. About that, what our brother reported, we all rejoice. These old house gatherings have something for themselves, where the speaker almost stands on the feet of the people, and they are all around you, right and left, in this room and in that room, in the kitchen, in the sleeping room, in the lounge, and they are spread all over. That's the best way to speak. Such gatherings have something very good in them. They are somehow totally different. You know, there are two kinds of house meetings. Maybe I should say it here. After all, it's not unknown. From the book of Acts, we are reported that the believers came together in the houses. They were breaking the bread. They prayed. They had fellowship with one another. This was a biblical way. And then there is a way of which Paul writes, that certain people go from house to house to take the people into bondage and to influence them. So of everything, there are always two kinds. The one is correct and is a blessing. The other is not correct and is not a blessing. Of everything, there are two. May God give us grace that we don't have two copies of one thing, but really only one, and this shall be the divine. Not just one direction, but the divine direction. Not just one word, but the word of God. It just has to be right, and it can only be right if it agrees with God and God's word. I had to think on Abraham, and I just went through the chapters from Genesis 12. I briefly went through these chapters, and one sees there the calling of Abraham, the election, the command to leave everything and to go into a country that God had promised. And then it says in Genesis 12, in verse 3, Genesis 12, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. God made elections. We cannot ask, why did he choose him and not the other? We can rejoice with them who have heard his voice, who have accepted his offer of grace, who hearkened to that what he said, and who believed it with all their heart, and who did accordingly in obedience. In chapter 13, we see then the separation of Abraham and Lot. There was already there, and this is the way of a believer. There were records which we may not ignore. Abraham was chosen by God. Lot went with him. And this going with him brought difficulties. And then came the day of the separation. And in chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." It still goes on. We come now to chapter 14. And what shall I tell you? The separation hurts always the chosen one, not the other. To them it doesn't cause any pain. As Lot, they look on their advantage. Whether it is always an advantage, this the time must show. But they look on it, as Lot looked on it. He picked out the best what he could see. That was his decision. But when Lot got into trouble and was defeated, who was it who mobilized his people to help this man? The elect did not give up the called one. When he heard that this man Lot got into trouble, he mobilized everyone who was born in his house and was male and could fight to deliver this man, to help him. Is this your attitude? Is it my attitude? It has to be your and my attitude if we are the children of Abraham and if we are part of the elect. When others separate, then it's their business. But we don't separate from them. Just be honest now. When we hear that somebody is in trouble, also of them who are not here today, what kind of pain do we feel there in our hearts? Don't we go into prayer? Don't we say, "Lord, be merciful, intervene and help"? But how is it the other way around? How is it the other way around? There is no mistake. The divine standards from ancient times remain valid as long as time exists. And everybody has at any time the possibility to examine himself. And do you know what then happened? When Abraham, after he defeated these kings who pulled away Lot, when he returned, then Melchizedek came towards him, the king of Salem, with bread and wine, pointing to the Lord's Supper. He won the victory over the kings, and here comes the king Melchizedek. We know who it was, the Lord. About this, most of the people puzzle until this day. The great Bible translator Scofield, who gave so many remarks in the English language, whom also Brother Brennan mentions, he writes in one of his remarks, "It was an unknown heathen priest king. This a man has to imagine." And then you and I read, as the most simple people, Hebrews 7. He had no beginning and no end. He has no father and no mother. He is the King of peace. He is King of righteousness. What light does that dawn on us? What light does that dawn on us? To the most simple among the simple. Just now, I looked into a book which Brother Kupfer brought me in the French language. When Billy Graham was recently in France, he dedicated everything so nicely. And as it should be, I looked up the first page, and there I read, the threefold God was from the very beginning. On this sentence my eyes fell, and Brother Kupfer says, is it really written there? I said, read it, and certainly it's written there. Who is the threefold God? Who should he be? There is no threefold, and no twofold, and no simple God. There's only one single God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we live in a time where all, even to the last evangelist, speak the language of Rome. And we just have to stand up against it, because we speak the language of God. And this we do until the end. Somebody was afraid that Brother Frank is on the way to Rome. This I have heard. One thing I tell you. If God is gracious to me, then I would like to throw a spiritual atomic bomb upon the Vatican. Not out of malice, but that the people wake up and see the abyss of hell. You don't have to worry about me. You don't have to be afraid. I know what I do. I know what I do. I don't need to tell you always. Some people think I should, here in the front, give account for everything. These times are over. These times are all over. I know one thing. God has entrusted to us a great message, namely the last message. And Brother Rus gave me a report this morning. It is just frightening. The whole alliance, the whole fellowship movement, this union, all the pietistic directions, everything what came forth from revivals, everything is marching in one direction. But there are children of God who walk in the opposite direction. There's no other way, that's only natural. And as Brother Branham emphasized from the Gospel of John, he who does not hear what Christ the Lord says will have to hear what he says who comes in his own name. And we see how the roles are all exchanged. Suddenly, Mary shall be now everything, co-redeemer, queen of heaven, mother of all believers, of all Christians, and so forth. We will still write about it, what she is and who she is. And we will also write about it, who he is, who makes her all that. Don't you worry. We know for what God has ordained us for. If we, who we were entrusted with the truth, if we don't reveal it, who shall then reveal it? And who shall get it to hear then? No, far from it. For this purpose we were born again and have been placed into this world to testify of the truth. And by this it remains until the last day of my life. Here, in Genesis 15, the Lord gives promises. He speaks with Abraham and says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Earlier he said to him, fear not. This is the form of address which the Lord always used in the Old and in the New Testament. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Why will his reward be great? He hearkened to that what the Lord said. He responded to it. He became a stranger here on earth and did what God commanded him. You can read all this, how he then gives him the promise that his descendants will be oppressed 400 years. Chapter 15, verse 13. And that the Lord will afterward lead them out with a stretched out arm. All this God has done. In chapter 16, we see then the incident with Ishmael. And if we then take it over into the New Testament, it was not a great disaster. Paul shows forth in Galatians 4, verse 28 and 29, in a very clear way, ye brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And that's how it remains until the end. And here we are again at the same point. Some hate, the others are hated. Both had the same father. One had the promise, and with the promise the inheritance, and with the inheritance the blessing. The other went out empty-handed. One fleshly, one spiritual. And the one born after the flesh hated him who was born after the Spirit. Who can change it until now? That's how it remains until the end. And therefore, I say again, we have the possibility to examine ourselves, whether we hate or whether we are hated. You get it? Everyone has the possibility to examine himself. Yes, and this we have to do. In chapter 16, that's how we have seen it already, there is this little incident. Then comes 17, where the Lord makes the covenant with Abraham and says in verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. What a promise. Over and again, new revelation, new instruction, new promises. Why? He was a chosen man with whom God planned something. If we are part of the elect, then comes promise after promise until the whole plan of God is made known to the people of God and finally becomes a divine reality. We don't marvel about it at all that God over and again spoke with Abraham. This was not a coincidence. If I tell you now, also with us, God spoke over and again. If we sometimes thought, now nothing comes anymore, suddenly there was again a revelation of the Word. Suddenly the light flashed again to us, and the Lord has spoken with us, and it went on with His help, as it was with Abraham, from station to station, from one time to the other time. Over and again, the Lord has spoken with him. And we see here that this making of the covenant brought something about. And here something stands out to me for the first time. You can actually read it in verse 10 to 14. Dear God introduced the seal of circumcision as the sign of the covenant with Abraham, and by it also with the seed of Abraham. It says here, in the last part of verse 13, and therein shall my sign of the covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But now it comes. God has also given the command that not only Abraham, but all who are of his household, no matter from where they come from and who they are, they had to be circumcised. And you can read it yourself. In chapter 17, verse 25, it says, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael, his son. Now you could ask me, one moment, Brother Frank. There God speaks to Abraham, I make my covenant with thee. and the sign, the outward sign in thee that you will bear on you, is the circumcision, a covenant between me and you. And who was all taken in into this circumcision? Even Ishmael. But where is the promise? Where is the blessing? Where is the election? You see what we are coming to now. Outwardly circumcised, but no participation in the promise of God. People can be believers and even having experienced the circumcision in the heart and yet not believing the promises of God. And we marvel about it and ask ourselves, how shall this go on? Even the servants, everything was circumcised in his house. A sign, a seal for Abraham. But what was the circumcision for all the others? What was it for the others? For the one chosen of God? You can read it. It shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. A sign of the covenant. With whom did God make the covenant? With all the strangers in the house of Abraham? Or with the Ishmaelites? For God's sake, not. With whom did God make the covenant? With Abraham, with the chosen ones. But many were around him. They were taken along, but they had no part in the promises, no part in what God intended to do with Abraham and his seed. And you can later on see it again in the New Testament, when Paul sets forth, not he is a Jew who is circumcised outwardly in the flesh, but he who received the circumcision of Christ in his heart. Here we come to the point where the circumcision belongs, namely into the heart. There it belongs. We see from the Old Testament that many were taken into a thing, but themselves were not a part, were not an original part of this divine thing. And thus it might have been in all the church ages. Many were part of it, but they were not an original part of the divine thing with the making of the covenant, with the promises, with the word. They participated. When Abraham went, they also went. When he stopped, they also stopped. But the covenant and the promises, the plan of salvation, was with Abraham and his seed. Beloved, we don't have to go here into details. We could now here go from scripture to scripture and continue the comparisons. For the Bible says in the New Testament that everything what happened in previous times, it took place for our sake. And when we read the Holy Scripture, we come to know how God handled the things. We come to know how the ways of God are. To see the ways of God today with His people, we have to look at them from the very beginning. Not all who go with are a part of the thing. When Moses was sent to Egypt to lead out Israel, one reads later on that a mixed multitude was going with them. The deliverance was for the elect. Many went with them. Abraham went. Lot went with him. Abraham was circumcised for a sign of God's covenant with him. And all who were in his house were also circumcised, even Ishmael, at the tender age of 13 years. And what use was it? Nothing at all. God made his covenant with Abraham, with God and us. Not only one thing must agree, but everything must agree in harmony. The word of promise, the calling out, the obedience, believing what God has said, everything has to agree with one another. And I think God leads us to it, that now at the end, a divine harmony is reached with God and His people. Let us not look to the outward things. Let us not say here and there was also a circumcision. Everything belongs together. The calling out, the being ready to go, the being separated, the obedience, the promise, the making of the covenant, everything belongs together. And then the circumcision is a sign of the covenant. But if God didn't make a covenant with Ishmael at all, and he is just circumcised, then he goes out empty-handed, even with his circumcision. So what does God want? He wants to have the seed of Abraham. Faith seed, seed of God, seed who hears His word, who believes it, who experiences the circumcision in the heart, and who walks on with God, with everything what He promised. And by this, it actually becomes evident who is of the seed of Abraham, who is of the faith seed. And who was Abraham? You can read it. Terah, his father, had it already in his heart to move into the land of Canaan and remained then in Haran and died there. But already the father of Abraham had it in his heart to move to Canaan, but didn't get there, but died in Haran. And when the time came, God spoke to Abraham. He has chosen him, and He told him where he should move. One thing we want to say, and this now in closing. If God has really called you and me through His word, then you know where you belong. Then you know where you have to move. Then you know the destination. If you don't know the destination, if you don't know where God wants you to be, if you still have to guess, then let me tell you, then God has not spoken to you yet. To Abraham, He said exactly where he has to go. He has given him the destination. He didn't walk all over the place. He had a destination in focus. Also, we have a destination in focus, because God has spoken to us through His word. It's not a blurred thing. It's not only a circumcision. It's a promise. It's faith. It's obedience. Receiving of that, what God intends to do now with His church. An inward responding to it. A saying yes to God. Not just a certain distance, but until we have reached the promised land. May the Lord our God bless us all and be with us. May He continue through His Spirit to soften our hearts and to make something totally new in us. To give us deep compassion. As we said earlier, Abraham could have laughed up his sleeve when he heard that now also Lot has been pulled away and taken captive. This was high time. That serves him right. Not so with Abraham. Abraham, a chosen one of God, felt sorry for him who was not chosen. The same we have seen already this morning with David and Saul. You see, the same attitude of Jesus Christ, the divine nature, was manifested in them who were chosen by God. The same Abraham, who could so nicely defeat these heathen kings, he delivered his neighbor. You see that? He knew exactly where it should be killed and who has to stay alive. He had the discernment. He knew what's all about. Brothers and sisters, if we are part of the elect, then we will be able to discern what it is about. Then we will not destroy everything and rejoice that a destruction took place. Then we only want to see the powers of the enemy destroyed, but not our brothers and sisters or half-brothers. Doesn't matter. God is the judge over all. Who are we that we could judge others? I feel so well, so thankful in my heart that God in His Word has left these traces. We may now read, we may examine ourselves and see to which side we belong. Paul wrote at a time, "You know that you are part of the elect." May this apply to all of us, that we, like David, like Abraham, like all the prophets, yes, that we, like Moses, could step into the breach and say, "Lord, blot my name out of your book, but let the people," so that our enemies cannot say that you didn't finish your work. What mattered to Moses? The honor of God. What matters to you? What matters to me? About the glory of God. That God could finish His work that He started. And we walk forward by faith with the Savior. Amen. Let us stand up and come to the front and thank the Lord together briefly. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for these hours of grace, for these moments in which we live. We don't know when you will fetch us, but you will take your people to yourself. You will prepare them, Lord. And this is the time of preparation. We are so happy and grateful that we may be in your school and that we may learn, Lord, what you have to say to us. We are as these lambs, as we heard it this morning. They need a leader, Lord. Also, we need one. You are the Good Shepherd, Lord. Your good Holy Spirit. May He lead us and guide us. This is my prayer, Lord. Lord, lead us now as we stand here. Give grace to worship. Give grace to praise. That we exalt your name and that we praise you together. For you are worthy that one praises you and honors you. Hallelujah to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, may today really nobody go from this place without taking this forever in your heart, that the Lord also redeemed you. We can hear the word of God for 1,000 years. Only on that day and in that hour in which it becomes a living revelation through the Holy Spirit that it took place, only then it really happened with us. And this just has to be today. Beloved, whoever dies today in his sin, dies in his sin because of unbelief. Because he has not believed what the Son of God did on the cross of Calvary. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. This is the promise, and it remains forever. And this we just take home. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains be removed. He that believes will find out that his word remains forever. Heavenly Father, I still have for myself and for all of us a very special request on my heart. Let us, from this hour on, only speak by faith. Should the enemy attack us with thoughts, that we don't speak them, but that we leave them in the battlefield of our thoughts and don't speak them out with a mouth and don't believe them with a heart. Lord, from today on, as Brother Branham preached it in the sermon, the greatest battle, faithful God, this battle in our head, this battle up there, the being tossed to and fro. Faithful God, that from today on we leave it up there and don't bring it over our lips, that it is being fulfilled on us, what Paul has written. I believe, therefore I speak. Lord, let us from today on only speak by faith. He who wants to speak in unbelief, may you close his mouth. Lord, don't permit it that we dishonor you. Give grace that we believe and that we speak by faith to also edify the other, to become a blessing to one another. Faithful Lord, together we are longing for that you let go forth your mighty word into all the world. O Lord, we see what is going on. O God, have mercy on us and with us. Have mercy on all of your people. And if you want to use us to deliver other ones who were pulled away, we are available for you. Lord, bless us and use us. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the sermons which we heard, for the word which we looked at. Thank you for everything. Thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Hallelujah. Amen.